The opinions and ideas of the guests of Spooky Things with Sarah and Debbie are not necessarily that of the host or Web Radio Network staff. You're listening to Spooky Things with Sarah and Debbie on the Web Radio Network. And now, Sarah and Debbie.
Hi, everybody. This is Debbie from Shadow Chasers and Hallowed Ground Paranormal Research Society. And I have, of course, Sarah.
Your sidekick and bestest buddy ever, Sarah.
Yeah.
And sister.
You betcha.
Good evening, everybody. It's good to be here. I'm thankful to be here.
Yeah. Sarah's had a interesting week, shall we say. Yeah,
to say the least.
Let's just say that we're glad Sarah is only sore, but okay. And you got a better week coming up next week. I sure
hope so.
Me too. Well, we have an interesting subject tonight for you. It's not something that a lot of people really know about. And the interesting thing is that it's prevalent in probably many, if not most, investigations, because it almost seems like wherever chaos is, these are not far away. And we are talking about elementals. Now, Sarah, and you remember, we've worked with elementals a couple of times, well, several times. And
yeah.
They're an interesting deity, if for lack of a better word. They're not human. They are born of chaos. And the interesting thing, though, is that these are one of the things that we work with that can actually kill people readily. And
really?
You know, people, oh yeah, an elemental
can kill you?
Oh, yes.
Wow. Okay.
Quite easily. Elementals are devoid of any human emotion. This is kind of like a spiritual robot. They have a specific job. They can be conjured or they can be created out of a natural disaster. They can be conjured with black magic. Those are the kind that you really got to be careful with. They don't follow any rules. There's like a lot of laws to nature and laws to the spiritual. They follow no rules whatsoever. They are devoid of human emotion. They are literally spiritual robots. So pretty much they all are designated like particular. They have one job to do, and that's the job they're going to do. And in their entire existence, that's the job that they do. Now, there are some that are not, you know, not bad. They're, for instance, like your earth elementals, they take care of things like forests. They'll take care of like the trees, the plains, anything that encompasses forests, they take care of. Then you have your elements that take care of water, rivers, oceans, lakes.
Yes.
You have them basically there's four elements. That's land, air, water, and did I say earth?
No.
Earth? Yeah, I did. I said land. Oh, there's land, air, water, and fire. Those are your four different elementals.
Okay. So, yeah, I knew that.
Yes. So what we'll do is that we'll kind of get back to, we'll start like at the beginning of elementals. Elementals were actually, as they say, actually in the Bible. And it goes back to Timothy 4.1. According to the Bible, an elemental, they never use the word elemental. A lot of times it's mentioned either as an angel or a demon. And like in Galatians, was it 13.9, it's actually mentioned as an angel. But in Timothy 4.1, it's a demon of immense power. It's the most powerful type of all demons. It's created when powerful formations such as ice rivers or mountains die. Due to their enormous size, the spirits of the structures are exceptionally powerful as they were powerful in life. So basically, earth, wind, air, and fire are classified as the fundamental building blocks of nature. These are the creatures that come from these building blocks that keep they are the guards. They are the protectors. They are the warriors. They are whatever they need to be to fulfill that task that they have in life or that they have been created for. Elementals were first brought into light by a man, Paracelsus. His name was Paracelsus. And this goes back to the 1500s. I believe it was in 1544 when he actually wrote a book about elementals. And he described the elementals as invisible spiritual counterparts of the visible nature, many resembling human beings in shape, inhabiting worlds of their own, known to man because of his undeveloped senses, were incapable of functioning beyond the limitations of the grosser elements. In other words, man can't see past the nose in his face, which is really true half the point. He dismissed the conventional Christian views that the elementals are devils. Instead, he argued that they are significant parts of God's creation, and he studied them like he studied anything else in the natural world. He was said to have written a book to describe the creatures that are outside the cognizance of light of nature, how they are to be understood, and what marvelous works of God has created. The book was called the Philosophia Magna. Elements can also be conjured by black magic, and they can be. Now, these are the bad boys. These are the really, really. These are the ones that can put an end to your life quick. They're created through the chaos of anger, revenge, hatred, jealousy, sorrow, and grief, the overwhelming emotions that can take control of the human mind and body. Through this chaos, elementals can be born. Of where they came, they do proclaim this as their reason of existence, their specific job, and that they mercilessly carry out their duties with total lack of remorse, control, empathy, or compassion. They are totally devoid of human emotion. Robots. It's just what they are. Paracelsus actually goes into the naming of the different ways that they are created. Okay. So we're talking about earth, fire, air, and water. These are all foundations of healing practices in Chinese, Native American, Vedic, and Tibetan cultures. And that's what's also interesting. All as diverse as they are, they all do share that. Elemental blessings were created as part of a multi-faith ritual. It's the very basic of pagan rituals still used today at open meetings and groups. It was designed so that non-pagans can participate without the fear of offending their own religious beliefs, because pagans are from neither Christian beliefs or it's like they're out there on their own. And they're a completely different, it's in a class of their own. It's actually fascinating. They're described as a mythical being that is described in occult and alchemical works from around the time of the European Renaissance, and particularly elaborated in the 16th century works of, like we were saying, Paracelsus. And according to Paracelsus, there are four categories of elements. And these are gnomes, and that's earth.
Yep.
Most of those, believe it or not, are female, are considered female, rarely male on particular ones. Undines, and that those are also considered nymphs, and most of those are female. And
you're going in and out.
Well, you know what's happening is that you've got another feed going on and it's bleeding through into this one. Yeah, because I can hear the talking in the background.
No, that's the TV. That's the TV.
Okay.
I need to go in there and turn the volume down. So go ahead.
Okay.
But
anyway, believe it or not, mermaids are actually considered an elemental, because they are considered the protector of water, and mermaids actually would fit into the category of being an elemental. Of course, you know, there's the good side, there's the bad side to them. So, of course, you know, most of the mermaids that you see today, they're all beautiful and they're all, you know, cute going through the water and everything. But in actuality, their job was to protect the water and protect anything that swims in the water. And historically, they could be anything but cute and anything but pretty, actually. Yeah, mermaids.
Okay, yeah. So the beautiful creatures that people have depicted them to be in pictures and drawings and paintings and all that good stuff.
Yeah, probably not really accurate. But nonetheless, they are pretty. The symbols represent the air. And again, they're considered female. Now, the salamanders are considered mostly male. Now, that's fire. Salamanders are from fire, and rarely a female in there. They're mostly all rare. And he regarded them not so much as spirits, but as beings between creatures and spirits. It's like they didn't really fit into either category. They didn't fit into a creature, because they're not really considered alive, although they exist. But they're not considered spiritual, because they actually take an animated form. So they're not really considered spiritual for that reason. They generally are invisible to mankind, having physical and humanoid bodies. But he referred to the elements collectively as a Sagani. He He noted that they are similar in humans in size, while sylphs are rougher, coarser, longer, and stronger. Gnomes are short, while salamanders are long, narrow, and lean. Now, this is just basically his description of these, you know, different types of elementals. This is interesting. The elements are said to be able to move through their own elements as humans move through air. Gnomes can move through rocks, walls, and soil. Sylphs are closest to humans because they move through the air like we do. But while in fire, they burn. In water, they drown. In earth, they get stuck. Each element stays healthy only in its own particular environment, only in their own particular chaos. But it will die in the other's element. They cannot survive in anything but their own element. But the one thing that they all share is none of them have an immortal soul. They can all be destroyed. Yeah.
What do you think that thing was here at the house then that night that I caught, where it was actually shape shifting from, you know, the bear to the pig to at one point it even looked kind of like a lion. I mean, that thing was shape shifting, and I did everything I could to debunk it. And I went outside. You could not see it with your physical eyes. Looked at the camera that was picking it up on my security system. And there was nothing in front of the camera or anything like that. But as soon as I come back inside, looked at the video screen again, you could see that thing still, you know, moving outside of the property here. And it was changing. It would go from the light where the street light was shining on the part of the property where it was forming at, and then it would go back into the darkness, and then it would come back to the light. It did
That's
that.
Because it was considered a ground elemental. And everything that it took the form of, or took the shape of, it was nothing that was pertaining to anything but forestry and ground.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
that's true.
And it also protected that one corner. It didn't really stray out of that one corner.
Mm-mm.
It was always right there. And if you also noticed that it almost marched back and forth.
Yeah.
Back and forth. It was definitely a sentry type of a situation. It was protecting and guarding that back area. And it would, you know,
I don't know if it's still here or not, but, you know, I've had friends to come on the property and they blessed the property. And I don't know if that's caused it to dissipate and disappear or whatever, but I do know that right after we moved in, it was here.
The interesting thing also about elementals is that it does not follow religious practices. Normally speaking, it does not follow any type of rules of religion. It does not, it doesn't recognize any of that. It recognizes simply the chaos it was born from and the job that it has to do in its particular element. That's it. Once it gets on a track, you can't deter it from it. It is born of that right there.
What did you say its main purpose was?
Protect.
To protect an elemental?
Yes. Now, here's an example, okay? And this kind of brings it into more of an understanding that we can kind of understand it a little bit. And this is the one of the favorite ways that I like to explain elementals. Elementals can be good as far as protecting, you know, those little flashes of dark shadows that you see out of the corner of your eye, especially being outside. You see those little dark shadows that dart by you, and you look and everything is there. That's an elemental.
Yeah.
Chances are, a lot of times you see them like if you're burning a fire.
Yeah, and the fires and stuff like that, yeah.
And people see forms and shapes in the fire. Those are fire elementals.
Yeah.
Now, those are the ones that you have to be careful about, because that can literally burn down your house.
Oh, boy.
Can burn down your house. It can burn you. Anything is game with a fire element, so you have to be real careful about that. The ones that you see off in the woods, those are ground elementals in the forest. They take care of the forest in the area. Those are the ones that you have to be careful of. It's like, well, what could a ground elemental do for me? A tree limb could fall on you out of the blue. You'd be walking under a tree, and the next thing you know, you're wearing a limb. Yeah, that could kill you quick. They have the ability to make things happen that are just bizarre. You would never think, you know, something like that would be attributed to an elemental, but it's their job to keep you from doing what they don't want you to do in any way possible. If they think that you're getting to be too close to something, they can cause a landslide. It'll cover you right up and you'll be stopped. There's all kinds of things that they can do. Now, as far as a water elemental, there's two stories that you can have that can really describe elemental activity. One of them is really nice. One of them is not. Now, the nice one is where everybody knows the story of King Arthur and going to the Lady of the Lake and that beautiful arm. Yay! Lifts the sword and the crowd goes crazy. King Arthur got the sword. Yay! Okay, well, that's all cool and all, right? Yeah. That's actually depicting an elemental spirit. The Lady of the Lake was an elemental. Her job was to protect that lake. And what we were seeing was the wonderful side where she's protecting this sword in this lake. It's her job to protect that. So when he comes around, yeah, she gives him the sword. All is good. What the other side of the story isn't telling you is what happened to the people who tried to get that sword in that lake that weren't supposed to be in there. They met horrible, horrible deaths. And that's the side that really they didn't really go too much into. But here's a story that did. This was a movie that was based on this story of an elemental protecting a lake.
Well, now, I don't remember anything being that I've read
mm-hmm.
that any of the ones that tried to pull the sword from the stone that they met horrible deaths. I don't remember any of that. Did they just wipe that out of history or didn't? What'd they do?
Well, when she had the sword in the lake,
yeah,
and anybody that would try to come and get it, she would dispose of them. Hmm. Anybody who tried to get that sword. The only one who was permitted to have it was Arthur. And she's the one who protected it and made sure. Basically, the story is about the elemental, water elemental. The Lady of the Lake was a water elemental. And you know, everybody just knew her as the Lady of the Lake. But in actuality, that is a story about a water elemental. Now, here's a flip side. There was a movie out, and it was horrifying, called La Llorona. And that was a story, and I think you'll remember it. It was a woman whose children got killed by being drowned in a lake. And her anguish over her children being drowned drove her insane. And she was so driven insane by the fact that her children drowned, she went crazy. And she was heard to have said several times that, you know, her curse would be upon the lake, that, you know, all children, all people, especially children, would be endangered of drowning in that lake. There's a movie called La Llorona, and it is about a spirit that comes and who drowns children in the lake. It would drown anybody, but its main thing was children. It wanted to drown the children. And many, many children did die in that lake. That was a water elemental. Can they kill you? Yes, they can.
Okay.
If they think at any time that they're being pushed, or if they think that their job is to kill anybody that comes near, they'll do that.
Now, quick question before you go forward. Because my brain, I do not, I'll be honest, I will tell you guys the truth every time on every show. I do not understand elementals, and that's simply my fault because I've never been very interested in searching for them, searching them out. I've had contact with them since I've been a paranormal investigator, but I have never researched them. So when you're talking about a water elemental, can that water elemental control the fish and animals in the sea?
Yes.
Okay,
It
so
can
it
control
may be
their
perfect.
environment.
Oh,
It can
I'm sorry.
control it really more controls their environment, which would impact them.
Okay, could that lead to a shark attack?
Yeah, it could. It could lead to beachings. A lot of the beachings could have been controlled by that. A lot of people can say, oh, those are just natural occurrences. They are. You're right. They are. But sometimes some of those things happen at a bizarre time. And it's like, how could that, and a lot of times it could be attributed to that. But I think the most important thing that concerns us is when you're out on an investigation and there's something that just keeps catching your eye, you keep seeing it out of the corner of your eye, you never can catch it. And certain things start to happen. I mean, like I said, when you're walking through the forest and a tree limb falls right in front of especially when you're outside. These things can really, really be nasty. Now, how they're basically formed, the ones that are the nastiest are the ones that are conjured
Yeah,
by
I can
fire.
imagine that. Yeah.
Yes. They are the ones that really wreak the havoc because they are literally conjured up. They are not born. Well, none of the elementals are born through any kind of reproductive means. They were born, they were created mostly out of chaos. Natural chaos is what the energy from that natural chaotic event is what creates these things. Remember, like we were talking about poltergeists? Poltergeists are created from the turmoil of a person. That energy that they project creates poltergeists. And that's why a lot of times, whenever this one particular person goes somewhere, this follows them because that poltergeist is the result of their inner chaos, their inner turmoil. That's what creates that. Well, and an elemental is something very, very similar in that fact that it can be created out of natural chaos. And they're extremely powerful because what created them was extremely powerful. The energy got shifted over and created this negative energy that is, it can be horrifying. It can be absolutely horrifying.
Now, question again. See, because my mind is trying to absorb everything that you're telling me, because I'm in a learning process tonight. Because, like I said, I have no clue about elementals. But my question here is, because my brain's rolling, what didn't
Okay.
get banged up and hit and binged in the wreck Thursday? But can elementals and spirits, ghosts, can they work together and coincide in one domain and cause everything to just explode, just be crazy out, in left field?
I don't think that they would actually work in, coexistence with each other. I think that it can draw and a situation can draw both of those to it, and both can create problems in an area. even though they're not working simultaneously together, the effects can be felt at the same time.
Because
So a lot of,
go ahead.
so a lot of times if there are spiritual activity, there could be elemental activity as well, depending on how it was created. You could be dealing with two separate entities, being the elemental as well as the spirit, because both were drawn to that particular activity, whatever it was, and you could be dealing with that with both of them.
Yeah,
And that does happen.
because I'm asking, we actually had a case over here in Milton that this is before you actually came on with me. Nina went with me and Miss Betty went with me, and Stephen was there. I can't remember who else, but there was a couple more with us, but it was a case where it was actually a spirit and an elemental.
Yes.
And at that time, I knew nothing about elementals. So that's why Nina went with me and Miss Betty went with us, because they had experience with dealing with elementals. And what Nina suggested is to put a plant up in the attic where the elemental was residing and give it something to nurture and take care of.
Yeah.
And doggone it, do you know that that worked?
Yes, because they're given a task.
Yeah.
And yeah, and you know, when you've taken something away from it that it was this task, it's to be it's just like a robot without a job. And but you give it something to do. Now, this is a lower end. If that would be the case, that would be of a more of a lower end. It would be in a case like this. It would be something that would be a real irritation and annoying, something like that. I don't think would really be even capable of taking your life. I think that it could make your life annoying and aggravating,
Yeah, it
and
was families, yeah.
yeah, it would be annoying and aggravating, and it would just take the crap out of you. But that's not, and then giving it the job back, it would shush it down, and that would be the end of it. Boom, we're done. Okay, it's back to the thing. Now something on the opposite end of that, if something is magically conjured up, and it is conjured up out of anger, resentment, hatred, I mean, you really want to do harm to somebody. And then out of that, you conjure up this elemental that is just, it's on a path of destruction. And it's going to be like a freight train. And wherever it goes, that's what it's bringing with it. Those things are nasty. Those things are very nasty. Those things can be attached to an object. And wherever that object goes, that elemental could be in it. And they're not demons, but they could kill you very easily. They are a real force to be reckoned with.
That brings to my mind, because I've gone 62 years, I am 62 years of age. Never, ever have I been in a car wreck up until Thursday.
Yeah.
Do you think an elemental might have followed me and had that to happen with the woman rear-ending me like she did and freaking totaled my mom's car from her hitting me in the rear end? It was an odd, really bizarre accident. And do you think that something might have followed me? Because I've been told before by other excuse me, psychics and things of that nature, that something is following me and has been following me for years.
It's not an elemental, though. It's not an element.
Don't think so.
No.
Okay.
No, I don't. No. I think that's more of a spiritual thing that we're going to have to research more into.
Okay.
I don't know. I just don't think so. I've not really seen a whole lot of the sign. Now, whatever was in the backyard, yeah, I think that was definitely an elemental in the backyard. There's no doubt in my mind that was an elemental in the backyard.
The one that was saying thing, right?
Just taking kind of like different forms or whatever. But
Now I had another one, because Betty came to the house, and she is very, very in tune with the spirit world. She is just amazing, to get to talk to and be around. And she's a wealth of information. She knows a whole bunch of things. And she walked the property, and she told me to stay inside and wanted to walk the property. And she went out there, and she said that she had talked to several elementals on the property. And she said, over in my right hand back corner of the property was an elemental, and it was a fire elemental, because not this house that we're living in that we purchased, but the house that was here on the property before actually burnt down.
Right. And it came from that. Yes.
Okay.
That's a really good possibility. Something like that. Like I said, it's born out of chaos. And in something like that, yeah, that can happen.
Okay.
The wood was the same wood from that burned down house. And then it was transported over to your new house, the
It
one that
is.
bought.
Yep. The flooring upstairs is wood from the old house that actually caught on fire. It did, of course, it didn't all burn down, because obviously the wood's here, but yeah, it did transfer over.
Yeah, I mean, that is a possibility, but we'd really have to know more of the history about what caused the fire.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And you'd
Right.
really want to learn more about, the person that owned the house. What caused the fire? Was it electrical? Was it just, spontaneous combustion? I mean, what happened? I mean, something had to have happened to create that fire.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, it's possible. But I still think that your main source of trouble at that particular house is not an elemental. It's not.
Mr. Man
I
downstairs in the attic, huh?
yeah. Yeah. In your particular situation, I don't think so. And no, I don't think that the car wreck was really due to mental at all. But I mean, that guy's been wreaking havoc in your life since you first moved in there.
Well, he has,
So,
about maybe a month and a half, 2 months ago, I started realizing I kept waking up same time every morning. Couldn't get past it, couldn't get around it, couldn't get over it or under it. Every morning, same time. So I also started realizing that there was a black shadow that was standing at the corner of my side of the bed. And so I got tired of it, because I could feel this thing touch me, because I sleep weird. I cover up, but I sleep with my legs out from my knees down. It's just something about having my feet covered up. I can't do that. I can't stand it. And so I just got up, and I had to come to Jesus meeting with him. I started praying and asking God to get him out of here, that I was sick and tired of him being here. And I just rebuked him and told him that, I'm not mad at him, that I want him to go into the light and go into the spirit world, but just go, because his time here was done. And I haven't had any problems with him since then. And I don't feel him now. Before I did all that, when I'd get up in the morning. When I'm awake, I'm awake. Okay. I got to have something to drink, and I'll go in the living room and turn on the TV and sit there and watch TV for a little bit. And I would feel watched. And every now and then I'd look up to the second story, and I would see a shadow leaning over the balcony watching me. And as soon as I'd look up, it would, move and not let me see it. But I haven't seen it, haven't felt him here. Actually feels pretty good, so I'm hoping and praying, and I feel in my heart and soul that God answered my prayers and he got that thing out of here.
That would
So
be great.
again, the wreck happened Thursday, and I just don't know if it was coincidence that I just happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time, and this woman plowed into the back end of me and the and did what she did. And I'm trying to piece everything together, because I'm telling you, I'm having a real difficult time. I'm going through PTSD from this wreck. If I hear a noise or something in the house at night, I'll flip and wake up, and first thing out of my mouth, is what's that? Because in my brain, I'm hearing that collision, so I'm having a really, really difficult time dealing with this accident. And thank, like I said, thank God, thank Jesus above that it wasn't as bad as it was, but it has woke me up, girl, sister. It's woke me up, and I'm feeling different things and seeing different things from a different point of view, and it's really got me. It's really
Well,
got me.
honey, I think a lot of what you're experiencing right now is something that's very naturally explained. And I think what created that wreck was the idiot that hit you. And that's all that there is to it. I mean, I don't think this was a you thing at all. I truly don't. I think this was created because this moronic fool who has caused major chaos before in her life with vehicles just is irresponsibly still behind the wheel of a car creating chaos for other people. And that's why you had a wreck, not because of anything that you did or anything that's attached to you, but because there was a moronic idiot who was behind you coming your direction. And this is PTS, symptoms. And you've never had a wreck this bad, so it's affecting you.
I've
Huh?
never been wrecked.
You've never had a wreck.
No.
So, at our age, to experience something as traumatic as that is going to affect you. So,
And whenever I get in my husband's truck, I'm jumping and screaming, at any little thing that happens, with other vehicles around us and stuff. And it's really getting to me.
yeah, well, but now, and I taught kids how to ride horses for years. And I used to always tell them, as bad as you think I'm being to you, you got to get back up there and you got to learn from your experience. But you got to get back up there. And I'm going to tell you, you got to get back behind the wheel of a car. And if at first you're uneasy and you're uncomfortable, go to a huge parking lot at the mall or something and just drive around. Get yourself acclimated to being back behind the wheel of a car. Go to a country road that many people don't go down and drive up and down there. But acclimate yourself back to getting behind the wheel of a car, because you can't let your life come to a stop because some idiot wasn't watching what they were doing and plowed into the back of you. You are always extremely independent and in doing things, and you've got to continue to do that. So this is not something that you want to be able to grab a hold of your life and put a stop to things that you're used to doing. I mean, am I not right?
Yeah, you're right.
So, I mean, I know it's hard. Oh man, I know it's hard, but don't let this moronic fool try to, you know, come in between you and your livelihood and put a stop to you doing what you want to do because she made a horrible mistake. You didn't make a mistake. You were exactly where you were supposed to be when you were supposed to be there. You didn't make a mistake. This was not a you thing. This was all her. You just got drug into it. You didn't have the accident. She had the accident. Just so happened to be with you.
Yeah. I'm just trying to piece it all together to see where it fit in the grand scheme of my life, you know?
Accidents happen. In that grand scheme of it, accidents just simply do happen. And, like I said, you know, I'm not sure if it had any kind of spirit. You said yourself that you haven't seen this guy for quite a while.
No.
And I see really no indication. Honestly, Sarah, I see no real indication that anything would have been behind it except for the moron behind you. That's what had something to do with it. Nothing more, well, nothing less.
You know, I trust you because, you know, you've been with me for so long and we've, you know, traced our heritage, found out that we're actually blood related. And I call you my sister because in every sense of the word you are, and I trust your intuity, you know, your peeps, as you call them. And I know that, you know, I can trust what they tell you and what you tell me.
Without a doubt. Well, my peeps tell me that they think that I love you very much. I think they're right. So you can trust that for sure.
I love you too, more than you know.
So you got to stop getting in front of these friggin' moronic fools out there.
Yep.
Tell Lily you'll just drive by and she's got to jump in the car as you pass. I'm not stopping for nothing. Just come out and just jump in whenever I open the door going by. Poor Lily.
Gotta figure out something, I tell you.
Yeah, that's what I honestly do think. But you know, dealing with these elementals is, elementals are everywhere. They're around us all the time, like mosquitoes. They're around us all the time, you know, where there's air, where there's water, where there's ground, where there's fire, there's an elemental. It's just, it's part of nature. They're there. Those are not the ones that we have to worry about at all.
Well, see, I'm having a hard time trying to understand, because of mine and your Native American background and our heritage, I know that Native American people believe in grounding themselves whenever you're feeling out of sorts and like you need this extra pick me up. They tell you to take your shoes off and ground yourself with the earth.
Yes.
If you need to be in the water, they tell you to go and just walk out into the water and submerge yourself for a little bit and then come back up and just swim and, you know, just take the water into your heart and everything. And I'm having trouble with the elemental thing with them doing what they do, but yet we're told to, you know, ground ourselves and with the elements, you know. I don't know, my brain may be simpleton and I'm not allowing the connection to make a point.
Just, you know, whenever you think of, like I said, the elementals that are out there, there's different, there's just like with the, you know, with angels and demons and everything, there's hierarchies to everything. And okay, your little wood, you know, elemental, your ground elementals, and they're out hanging out in the woods and making sure everything's copacetic because that's their job. Okay, everything is good. We're good. You know, there's nothing to worry about with them at all. They're the ones that keeps nature flowing smoothly.
Okay.
Those are not our concerns. Those are not our concerns at all. The ones that we have to be really, really concerned about are the ones that are conjured up by black magic, the ones that are conjured up because of somebody's horrible meanness, their anger, their hatred, their jealousy. These are the things that can conjure things up that can hurt us badly. And believe me, you'll know. You'll be like, oh my God. It just seems like every move that I make, it's like, and a lot of times they will take this, they will deliberately conjure this up and they'll attach it to something. And they'll make sure that you get that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Or you receive it without being aware. But man, you'll feel it immediately. You will. These things don't hesitate to make itself be known. You will know. This is not. I do not believe in my heart, and my peeps are telling me the same thing. This is not what you've got going on over there. You can call. I even considered it at one point. I thought, could it possibly, you know, finding out that the house had burned once before and all this kind of, but no, I don't think so. I think the whole thing came down to that spirit that we were talking about. He was strong enough in himself, but I honestly do think. But it didn't have anything. The element in the backyard, it's really of no fear. It's doing its thing. He's doing his thing. But he doesn't have any. You are of no concern to him.
Okay.
He's doing his thing. He's of no concern to you. So, you know, rest easy with that, my friend, because I don't think that you have that to be worrying about at all. And I was very impressed when you told me how you, you know, handled that situation. Quiet, everything. I think you could very well have handled it.
I just got tired of it, and that's my fail safe. You know, whenever I've tried everything that I absolutely positively can, then I go back to my roots, you know, with God and Jesus and the Bible and everything that I was grown up to love and to understand. So that's what I felt in my heart. And I did what I felt, and I haven't felt him anymore.
Well, you know, you being a paranormal investigator, you would know that that's the heart of success right there.
Yeah.
Being the homeowner and having it come from the heart and meaning it, and saying it with enough determination and enough strength and authority to say enough is enough.
And that's what I do. Yep.
I've had enough. And that's it. And I think that's what happened. And, you know, I think he finally took you at your worth. And he could leave. And, you know, kudos to you. It goes the strength that you have behind you. But following along with the particular do's and don'ts, so to speak.
Yeah.
And you did what needed to be done. And as an investigator and as somebody who has gotten rid of how many of these things before and everybody else's houses?
Countless.
Countless. Sometimes when it comes to running in your own house, it's like, you know, it's doctor heal thyself.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard to do it. A doctor can work on anybody else's family and do a bang up job on it. When it comes to his own family, not so much, because there's emotions involved. It's a completely different thing.
Yeah.
Working on family. And you know, many doctors will tell you that. Oh, that's a completely different area there. It's the same thing with us. You know, look at me. I had the dark man back here.
Yep.
Remember that?
Yep.
That thing was hard to get rid of.
Sure was.
It was hard to get rid of. But it. So, I mean, I hope. And I guess with you, you would be the best person to tell me if that helped clear it up a little bit with the, they're hard to understand.
They are.
It's difficult to understand. You know, I mean, sometimes it's like, I have to rely on my peeps a lot of times. It's like, yeah, it's an elemental there. Better be careful. Better be careful. Yeah. That's an elemental. And it's like, oh, okay, stop. We need to take a turn here because we're dealing with something, you know, we're thinking it was spiritual at first. It's not. It's not spiritual. It's not demonic. It's an elemental. Or it's an elemental in conjunction with something else. Not that they work together, but they could both be attracted to the same situation. And it would attract both a spiritual and an elemental because it attracted both for their each individual. Thought you were dealing with one thing, you're not. You're dealing with two different things. Or it could be three different things. You know, could you imagine a situation like that?
No, I don't want to be in a situation like that.
That would be scary.
Lord knows, I have enough to deal with as it is.
Yeah. But a lot of times an investigation can come down to a collective. And remember how we talked about collectives.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's a collective of the same thing. But a horrifying situation would be a collective of diverse situations coming together. And you're trying to figure out this. When you first walk in, it's like this mismatch of all these different things coming together that you're walking into. And you're like, oh, my God, what is all of this going on? And it takes a while to sort it all out and figure it all out. It's like, this is what's going on. It's not just this. It's not just this. This is what it is. It's separately. It's all combined. Even though each one are working separately, it's combined. You know what? The hospital. The hospital?
Yeah.
There you go. There you go. Great example of collective. So it's actually quite fascinating when you get down to it. You know, people go in there thinking that, paranormal investigations that, we're going to come in here, we're going to look for ghosts and spirits that are lurking around and coming out. And it's like, I hate to tell you, but that might be the least of your worries. You might be going in there looking for, a little ghosty here and there. And it's like, well, buddy, you're so far away from the truth. That isn't it at all. It's not it, you know. I don't know. I find it fascinating. It's just a big puzzle to try to figure out. And they can be handled in so many different ways. There are certain Native American rituals that are absolutely fantastic, absolutely fantastic, that can be done to deter or even to break a bond, to break an attachment. Break that attachment. Cure it to something else. There.
You keep going in and out. So.
Oh, do I?
Yeah, your voice.
No, what I was saying was that if sometimes if it's attached to something, you can actually break that attachment and have it reattached to something else that is more disposable. And at that point, as it's reattached to something else, you can neutralize it with that second attachment. Where it was reattached to. And you can remove it from the premises or you can take it from, and have it attached to something, or you can remove it from the premises. But they can be destroyed. They actually can be destroyed. But it does take somebody who knows what they're doing in order to neutral in order to relocate it. Because you don't want to twerk it off. That is something you do not want to make mad. You don't want to do that.
So many things of the other world, so many times, I wouldn't be surprised at anything that happened to me.
Yeah, there's a lot of things out there. But you know what? It's what makes the world so fascinating. It truly is. And heck, I don't have the answers. I don't have to all of it. I can only share with the experiences that I have and that I have personally used that works.
All the time that we used to investigate, I used to let you guys go ahead, and I would sort of watch Command Central and be there for you guys and not really get too involved unless y'all needed me, and then shoot whenever you couldn't get anything to be active or to, interact with you guys, then y'all would come get me. Y'all nicknamed me Ghost Bait because I was the one that went in and I would always stir things up and get them active and get them,
That you did.
working with you guys. So the whole other world, the spirit world might be pissed off at me. So I don't know.
Well, we all do the best that we can, and it's easy to look back and go, gee, maybe I should have tried this, or maybe I should have. Can't do that. You just can't do it because the bottom line came out. The cases that we've been on, I mean, they turned out okay. They turned out, we helped a lot of people, and that's why we do it. We helped a lot of people, and I do it again tomorrow. We'll help more, and we will be helping more people to come. And with every case that we do, and every new experience that we have, we're learning more. Every time we go out, we learn.
That's true.
Every time we go out, because every single case is not identical to the case before, and it will not be like the case after it. So everything is a learning experience.
We never act when we're out at a case. Excuse me, at a case. We never act like we know everything
No.
because we don't. We
No.
learn something or multiple things every time that we did go out and investigate people's homes and businesses and stuff. So we're learning something new every day. And if we get to a point where we think we're not learning anymore, then we just need to quit.
Yeah.
Because if we're not going to keep an open mind and continue to grow and learn in this field, then I think we're done. That's just my opinion. So.
Yeah. Well, because to me, because if we get to that point, then it's just our body's way of telling us it's enough. Because to me, there is no learning enough in this field. This field is so vast. And there's so much out there. And just when you think you might have it figured out, here comes a third perspective. And it's like, oh, I haven't even thought about that. Didn't even think about that. And I've been watching a lot of shows that are more on the outside of what we do. And every time I watch one of these shows, it's scientifically, it's like, wow, that would be like a fourth or a fifth spin on it. Probably possible though, so everything is a learning experience. Elementals and nymphs and sylphs and all this other kind of stuff. It's part of the fae world as well. There's a lot of work to be done there. And is it things of lore? maybe some of them, yeah. But I've experienced them myself. I have experienced many of the, you've experienced many of these things, firsthand personal experience.
Yeah.
They're there. Elementals are real. They are out there. They're actually a part of nature. The ones that are formed on the natural grounds, they are literally a part of nature. It is just another one of those things that are out there that we don't understand. Mm-hmm. Things that are born out of black magic, conjuring, right up there along with the spiritual world and the things that we experience there. But they are equally just more mystical and more dangerous. You really have to be. My advice to be out there, you know, I keep getting the same advice, but there's a reason for it. If you're not familiar with them, don't poke a stick. When they poke back, that it's not a little earth. So don't mess with it. Don't think that you can handle it. Don't mess with it at all. Get somebody familiar with something like this and let them handle it. Let them show you how they handle it. Again, it's a learning experience.
Yeah.
Well, do you have anything you want to include in on that?
No, not really. Like I said before, I don't know that much about them. I'm in the learning stages for elementals, and my mind tells me to leave this area to your expertise. It's all yours, sister.
Oh, thank you. I'm learning every day with it too. You know, like I said, every day is a learning adventure. And I learn daily. So something I learn, wow, okay, I can do that. Or, you know, I was on the right track with that. And then there's other days it's like, wow, I was way off in left field with that one. I thought I understood it better, but no, this has proven to me that there's a lot more to discover with this than what I thought. So it always is a learning experience.
Well, you can just nickname me Kooky and leave Kooky with the Spookies, and I'll leave you with the Elementals. So.
Well, the Elementals are spooky too, so they're all spooky. So if anybody out there has anything that they would like to add to this, if you have any experiences with this, hey, we'd love to hear. We would love to hear from you for sure. If you disagree with anything that I've said, basically, I've just given you the basic facts of it, or that you'd like to add to it, whatever, please, you know, let us know. And we'd love to hear, we'd like to hear other sides to it, because, like I said, this is a huge field, and there's a lot left to consider. There's a lot of things that are left up to, you know, different approaches and different ways of looking at it.
Right.
So, and definitely different ways of handling it. Oh, and like we were talking about somebody the other day, and I was explaining to you how her vast array of techniques that she uses has me totally fascinated, because it's just, she's just pulling them out of air because she's so used to it. But it's just such diverse ways that this individual has of handling situations. I was so totally impressed. It was just really wonderful to see her just using all these different ways around it. Fascinating. Just totally fascinating.
Yeah.
So, all right, dear friends out there, I just want to let everybody know we are working on some things that are coming up as well. And we will let you know the sooner we get closer to the date. Now, next week, we are having a friend of ours. And next week, Sarah, is Adam.
Oh, okay, good. Good, good,
Yeah.
good.
Next week is going to be Adam. Now, Adam is the new owner of a place called Camp 31, which is a barbecue restaurant. Man, this stuff is good. And
Food, amazing menu.
yeah. Ooh, yeah. And he's going to come on and tell us about a lot of his experiences with his building and what we have done there for to help him in his building. But amazing experiences that we've had in there, photographs, film footage that we've taken. It's just absolutely amazing. And things that have happened to him privately and personally in there. So
Yes.
Adam will be here. Adam Macuso. Am I saying that right? Adam Macuso.
Mikasa.
Mikasa, is it? Okay.
I think so.
And so I'm excited about hearing from Adam. And so next week is going to be a very interesting conversation with Adam about Camp 31.
Yeah. And also, you guys, don't let it slip your mind. Write it down. Write it on your calendars about the Paracomicon coming up in Ozark, Alabama on August the 19th and the 20th this year. You do
Yes.
not want to miss it. Stan and Teresa Fikes with Reb, Reb, Web Radio and Web Paranormal. They are working and adding people weekly. Okay, celebrities and other great people that you're going to be able to interact with and talk with and get to meet. So, guys, write it down. And if you're going, I would suggest that you go ahead and make your bookings for a room if you are traveling any amount of mileage away from your home, and you're going to want to stay in that area for the weekend. You better book early because it's going to get filled up and the place is going to be crowded. So,
A
yeah.
huge tent, so it's going to have limited space there.
Yes,
So
we did. Yes.
make sure that you get it soon.
Make your plans. You don't want to miss this. It's going to be an amazing weekend.
Yeah, I'm excited.
I am too.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. I'm really excited about it, and also we'll be able to see a lot of people who hear us, but we never see any of the faces. It goes along with, the people that are listening to us. So I'm excited about that too.
Right, me too.
Yeah. So,
And you guys,
all
please
right.
remember me in your prayers. Because of the accident, I'm really sore and stiff and everything, and having all the problems that Deb and I talked about on the show a little bit tonight. So please mention my name in prayer. I would appreciate it.
Of course we will. And everybody out there, I hope you have an amazing rest of your week. Be safe. Be careful.
Yeah, be safe. Definitely be safe. Wear your seat belts and be an offensive driver. Watch out for those other people out there that are around your vehicle. Okay. You can't never be too safe. I found that out last Thursday. So God be with you and protect you and keep you until we can talk to you guys again next Tuesday night.
Okay. Goodbye, everybody. Talk to you next Tuesday.
All right. God bless and good night, everyone.